This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Yeah, there it is. Welcome to the Blacklist After Buzz After Show. Yes, that is Nando.
We're back.
What is that? What are we listening to?
That's Save Me. That was the opening. That was when the doctors were getting the code 77. That was the music in the background. That's called Save Me, and it's from, I don't think I can say this guy's name right. I don't even know where it is right now. Hani
Al Khatib.
Thank you, Marissa. Hani Al Khatib.
Yes,
absolutely. Awesome song.
Thank you. Welcome to Blacklist, AfterBuzz After Show. We've been off for a couple of weeks. It's fantastic to be back. I'm joined, as always, by my man, Nando Velasquez.
Thank you. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm also joined by the lovely Julia Kearley.
Hi, everybody. I feel like I haven't been here in so long.
I haven't seen you
I've
in so long.
I've missed you guys.
I know.
I haven't felt threatened in quite a while.
Yeah. We needed a break. Means.
Exactly. I think you're good. We're not joined by Joe Sanfilippo, who is doing a voiceover of some sorts, which is he feels is much more important than being here with us.
What does he know?
Yeah.
What does he know?
Come on.
I'm here. I'm Joe Braswell. Breaking news. I love this episode. I loved it. And I've got no qualifiers. I've got no, except for the thing, what the thing. Elizabeth Keen, I'm okay with her. Didn't suck. I liked her, actually. I like Lizzie Keen.
Didn't suck.
And, you know.
Look, considering the fact that we are always on this show raving about James Spader, and he was pretty much unconscious for two-thirds of this show.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Lizzie had to, you know, Megan Boone, Lizzie had to carry most of this.
And props to Megan Boone. I think Megan Boone did a good job.
Yeah.
I want to hear what you have to say about Megan Boone.
I was all in on this episode. This was the Blacklist episode of my dreams.
Right. Mm. Oh,
all across the board,
yeah.
Including Lizzie Keene, who I know I give a bad rap, but good job, Megan Boone.
That was awesome.
All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, as you may or may not know, this is it is May sweeps. It's a time of the year where the networks or the Nielsen ratings are sort of calculated and tabulated and watched, and this is the time of the year where the networks put on their best shows, or their stunt shows, or their best episodes, and people die, and guest stars pop up, and all these things happen in network television.
Secrets are revealed.
Big ol' secrets are revealed.
Yes, and so and the Blacklist is no different at all, and we're in these last three episodes, and we're in sweeps because this was Cracker to the Jack.
I knew you were gonna say that. I knew
Cracker
it.
Cracker Jack. I loved it. It's Cracker Jack episode. It was great. We left last week with a bit of a cliffhanger.
Last week.
Sorry.
Last episode.
With a bit of a cliffhanger of Red being shot, and then Din Bay and Lizzie firing off into the air into the mysterious assailant who's unknown. But then we jump right into it this episode where we see that the team spring into action, and the first cool thing we see is Lizzie gets on the horn with the gang at the post office, the task force, mm-hmm. and tries to get some care for Red, and Din Bay snatches that phone and throws it out and says, it's star 77 time.
Can you just take Red to the ER? Like, is that a possibility?
No.
Like, I don't think you can.
No,
of course
you cannot.
He has a plan ready and set in motion.
Well, I think Lizzie, I mean, he's obviously in need of an ER immediately. So I think even Lizzie knows that, but at the same time, she just doesn't know.
She doesn't know code 77.
She still doesn't know the rules that Red plays by. And hell, I don't think I did. That was such an amazing montage.
Star 77, baby. Yeah. Code 77. Explain what happens with code 77, Nanda.
Oh, I mean, it's a direct line to Mr. Kaplan, and Mr. Kaplan's like, what's your location? It's like everything.
I call her Kate.
Yeah.
Well, I call her Kate.
Everything. It's like all you have to do is star 77, and she knows exactly what's going on.
Yes.
Everything's going on. You don't have to say anything else. Just your location. Yep. She finds the closest place, and I guess contacts every.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Single major surgeon, doctor, like the elite people.
She's like the top of the phone tree.
Right. Yeah. That one guy jumping out of the ambulance and just running down the street.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I think this is one of my favorite sort of pop culture tropes, or these things in pop in culture and in spy movies. That weird call to action montage. Mm-hmm. Like they did it so great in Bourne Identity, when it's like, you know, activate all the assets, and you see these shots of people like laying in bed looking at their phone and then like cocking guns. Like, I love that stuff. Yeah. I love the idea of like there's some button you can press and people all over the city or all over the world just look at their phone and then know what to do. I love the idea of that. I want to do that with you guys.
Let's do it.
Code where just like it's like star Braz or something, and you guys just kind of all.
I'm just tempted to do.
Give me a sandwich.
I'm just tempted to do star 77 right now on my phone. Give me a sandwich. Like, this isn't Postmates. It's not Uber. Click the Uber, dude.
Uber food.
I've got the pepper jack cheese. I've got the mayo. Flipo's like, I've got the bread. We all need an AfterBuzz. That's my dream.
Let's make a sandwich.
Let's make a sandwich.
Who's
going to be Mr. Kaplan, though?
I don't know. Lolo can be Mr. Kaplan.
Lolo, you can be Mr. Kaplan.
Alright, So we get that. No, well, first of all, just let me jump back into a recap. We learned a lot this episode. I think there are a lot of questions answered. We talk a lot about this whole notion of more questions being asked than answered, or more questions being presented than answered. I think that we, much like the very beginning of the season, we do this wholesale, like, answer a bunch of questions and sort of get us on the right track. I feel pretty good about all the stuff they were answered. They even addressed the thing that you and I were talking about the Tom and Red on the bench outside the hospital.
Yes.
Which we're like, how did that happen?
Yes, mm-hmm. Thanks for that.
And a very good piece of exposition. They explained that whole thing. Tom did a great job of sort of saying, like, you hired me, but I never met you. And, you know, and I was sat next to you. I was terrified because you were threatening me, but not threatening me. And it was, I didn't know what to do. And that was
awesome.
That all made sense to me. I'm like, oh, okay, well, there's that.
There were a lot of thank you moments in this episode for me. Like, ah, oh, thank you.
Right.
Ah. Oh. Thank you.
Yes. I agree. So I feel like, a lot of the listeners are tied up. We finally, even without spoiling, we finally also get to know, Tom's true nature, the other Tom.
Connolly?
Tom Connolly's true nature. What is with people in Tom's?
I know.
Toms?
Yeah. I know, the Toms.
The Toms being trained. But yeah.
Blacklist loves Toms.
Did anyone for one second think Tom was on the up and up, though?
Oh, God, no.
The second he showed up.
Oh, God, no.
We were like,
he's
marmied to the nth degree.
Yeah. The worst kept secret in all of Blacklist.
I mean, he's an awesome character, but yeah, you can't trust that guy.
No.
I mean,
oh,
God, not at all.
Please.
Yeah. And even in this episode, when he's like, when the assistant attorney general was like, we need full disclosure. And he's like, no, he's right to keep it a secret. It's a need to know basis. I thought, like, oh, okay, maybe. But
really?
No, I didn't buy it.
Nice try.
I didn't buy it. Also, we get a lot more of David Strathairn, which is great. The director.
The director.
We almost got what he's the director
What's
of.
His
there's
name?
A, there's
director
a,
Cooper?
Clandestine
no.
Services.
No, well, yeah. Well, they cut it off. They're like, he's the director of Clandestine. Yes, he is.
Clandestine.
They started saying the acronym and they didn't even like finish it. What did you have?
No, well, I had subtitles on. I was watching on Hulu.
Oh, okay.
And it said clandestine. Can never say Clandestine Services. That's all it said.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it didn't say anything else. I just assumed
the director of Clandestine Services. That high powered government hardcover organization, clandestine services.
Yeah, but isn't that the CIA kind of?
That's what I was thinking.
Central Intelligence Agency, CIA.
Yeah, well, I guess so. Okay, never mind. But I mean, they do those kinds of service. That's what they do.
They do, but I'm just saying, like, they've made him the director of something that is
something
secret.
Within there. Yeah, I guess
some government agency that's not, you know, that we don't know about. Anyway, it's good to see him show up.
Yeah.
You know, I think they got him for a few, you know, like a handful of episodes. So mm-hmm.
He's great.
I think they use him for the beginning for the season premiere, and they use him for the end for sweeps. It's like the best, you know, bang for the buck in your David Strathairn dollars. You only got him for five episodes. You know, you don't waste him in those, in the middle episodes, you know, with the family, whatever that family was. The one, the cult family. Was it?
Oh, I forget what they were called.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's get into this. So, Red's down. We assemble our Avengers of surgeons and team together to put them together.
Avengers mm-hmm. assemble.
And, while this is happening, we're on the hunt for my man who's the title of this episode is
Leonard Call.
Leonard Call.
Yes.
Call.
Number 62.
Right, number 62.
On the blacklist.
Yep.
Which we now know Leonard is the guy. Now, is Leonard the creator of the Fulcrum
code
decoding device?
I don't know. He's like the Alan Turing.
He is. I mean, I feel like
he was very Imitation Game with that thing.
I don't think he created the device, but he wrote the code that the device that you need to operate the device.
Right. Okay. So
he knew how to work it.
There you go.
So they knew they wanted to get him. They put the task force on finding him. They had that wonderful moment where Aram had to sort of spill his guts about how he helped.
Oh, Aram! Oh, that look from Cooper.
Yeah, Cooper gave him a look, and I was like, but Aram's like,
sorry.
What do you want me to do?
He's scary.
do you understand? Like, the idea is that they have to find, you know, Liz wants to find this guy. And they're on the hunt to find this guy because they know that he's important. Do they know why he's important at that point? Or are they just trying to figure out?
No, he's able to do is mutter out to her as he's spitting out blood. Right. You need to find Leonard Call.
Yeah, Leonard Call. Yes. So they go out and they try to find Leonard Call. Harold Cooper goes to Tom to ask another favor. You know, I got a guy who owes me a favor. Presumably, Tom puts him in touch with his old CEO.
Oh, Tom Connolly.
Yes. I'm sorry. Puts him in touch. I gotta say Connolly. You're right.
Yeah.
Puts him in touch with the old CEO who lets him know the location of Leonard Call.
Call.
Yes.
C-A-U-L.
Okay. Look at that. Got that right. I mean, yeah. there's a lot. There's so much to like get out and unpack. I don't know how much of I should go through linearly story. How much we should talk about sort of bullet points. What happened?
But it sort of turns out back to the Leonard Call thing that while they're searching for him, he's already following Lizzie.
Right.
So he's already found them.
Right. Which is what ultimately what Red says when he comes to right.
He says Lizzie won't find him, but he'll find her.
Okay. So I just how about this? I have a bunch of questions. Let me just.
I see that.
Hammering through questions. Not in a bad way. I have a bunch of questions.
Who's Red?
So, Red Reddington. He's important, right? No, okay, so let's start with, you know, they assemble. So, Liz, the FBI team comes to the first team that comes in is a team that is presumably they thought were there to support them, but it turned out to be a group of assassins.
It was a leak.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a leak.
That was sent by...
Do we know where the leak came from?
The leak, they figured out where the leak came from because...
Strathern's character.
Well, it came ultimately, I guess, from Strathern's character, but happened was when Lizzie called and gave the location, Cooper went through another agency to get back up over there, so they figured the leak was from there. So that's why they said from now on we do everything just from there.
Right. That's why when we call HRT, we use so-and-so's team.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, okay, got it. So when they came in, Miss Kaplan, being the sharp cookie that she is, noticed that they weren't carrying government-issued guns.
God, I love her.
And just
But they still shot that one surgeon. They got one shot off before Kaplan was able to get them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which caused such a weird, interesting... I wonder if this is why this plot device was introduced. So it caused them caused Lizzie to call in a favor from an old boyfriend, the doctor, who apparently
Dr. Nick.
Dr. Nick.
Dr. Nick.
Who apparently can't say no. Like most men, we know, can't say no to Lizzie.
Can't say no to Lizzie.
For some reason.
She's a magical sexual beast, apparently.
I don't know.
But, she makes men compromise their morals left and right. Yes. Look at Tom abandoning his post. Look at Nick.
Yep. Mm. So I don't know what's going on in there. I don't know.
Hey, when you're good, you're good. Can I say?
Say it.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
Not say it.
Someone's not.
We made a couple jokes before the show started. That's
right.
All. Okay.
Let's just say Lizzie's persuasive with the.
There
with
you
the,
go. The, okay. The that's
man.
Fine.
Anyway, so the doctor comes in. He's there. He's wants to perform the surgery, but he says he knows who this is. He demands $379,000.
Whatever his student loans are.
Yeah.
And like 22 cents.
And 22 cents. Yeah. $22. There's $22, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Which,
exactly
know.
What his student loans are.
And Ms. Kaplan is ready with the briefcase of $500,000.
Let's call it even.
Untraceable bills.
Yeah.
Like, just get it done, which I thought was also super dope.
But I think there's an important reason for Nick to be introduced in this episode.
Why?
And, go on.
Because, well, first of all, we hear when he sees Tom, we hear that I guess, you know, when he proposed to Lizzie before she turned him down, I guess he discovered Tom in her place.
Yes.
Right. So
last time I saw you, you were in your underwear making coffee in my living room, something
That's
like that.
Right.
And
okay.
And this all again goes back to Tom being hired by Red to be close to Lizzie. So if anything, you know. Tom, she can even blame Tom for this because who knows? Maybe she would have been with Nick if Tom wasn't in the picture.
But
I also like Tom Keen saying to Nick, "Don't take it, don't take it,
don't
take that
money.
You'll be indebted. You'll be under his thumb."
So
that was a nice little warning.
So you think? He'll
so maybe
be back.
We'll see him again.
Yeah.
Is Tom going to get rid of this SS tattoo ever?
God, I hope so.
He's just going to rock the SS tattoo.
I know that's a little weird that he still has it on.
I like the continuity.
Yeah.
You know? I like the commitment of him having to get that tattoo.
I don't know if he's had time to have it lasered off.
He has
just stick
not.
A, like a Band-Aid on that or something.
That's probably,
you don't have to walk around town with that.
Yeah.
That's probably a good point. I mean, well, first the Band-Aid, but also just to show continuity, you know, passage of time. Just to show that not much time has passed with all of these episodes. It's just one after the
boom,
other.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
So, and then there's an issue, and then we have to move Red immediately. Mm-hmm. To stabilize him and move him. They move him to this warehouse, right?
To what I am presuming to be Tom's old warehouse where he had his fancy car, where he was doing all of his secret stuff when he was still with Lizzie.
Exactly. That's what I thought. But isn't the warehouse where they got in a fight there, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then he killed
Joanne.
What's her name?
Jolene.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the same warehouse.
That's what I believe.
All right.
She said, I thought you'd be gone. Because he said he was going to Japan.
He's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere.
And she said it was the last place I could think of to go.
Yeah.
Right. So what do we think of this Tom Keen guy these days? Because I've done another 180 on Tom Keen.
Where are you now?
I am so pro Tom Keen. Like, I want to make out with Tom Keen. I love Tom Keen so much.
Oh, well, join the club.
I love Tom Keen.
Welcome one and all.
Like, and they did just a really great job of, like, just this full circle of, like, really convincing me that, A, he really did love Lizzie, and they did some great writing in this episode to sort of close all those loops that, you know, at the end went read between his monologue, between what he's told Lizzie, between what he told Red about that meeting, you know, more further explaining the whole Berlin situation. And then, of course, Red at the end, in one of his Red monologues, sort of explaining the specifics of what went down with Tom. Mm-hmm. He was hired only to keep an eye on him. He fell in love. And then once he fell in love, like, he got fired. But he was afraid of Red, so he joined Berlin. But he really wanted to stay close to Lizzie. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't... He was just trying to sort of keep himself alive and stay close to the one he loved, not sort of betray him the whole time. That goddamn Tom is a sweetheart.
Heart of gold.
He's a heart of gold. Heart of damn gold.
But they did a great job in creating this character and they've humanized him when we thought that was out the window, and they've made him a completely sympathetic character.
Right. And they've made him an asset now.
Yeah.
Because now we know that he's a complete badass. He, you know, I mean, he's one hair's breadth away from being a part of the damn task force. Like, he's going to be, you know, eating breakfast with Wrestler and Cooper pretty soon here. You know, I don't know. Like, he's in the mix. So I really like what they've done. And now I'm rooting for them. Now I want them back together. Forget Wrestler.
I mean, I don't know if I want them completely back together, but
I do.
I do like them working together. That's a step up.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't see how they're just going to work together, you know?
Yeah, I know. Right. It'll
they're
going
to do it sooner or later.
Sooner or later.
And then I'll hate her again.
I'm up for later. Let them work together. I'm kind of
like... You guys. Like, how, you guys are going to work together forever.
Oh, boy.
How are we going to do it?
Like, sooner or later.
I don't even want...
Sooner or later, I'm going to kill him. Stop.
Okay, seriously. This is back to that.
We took a little break.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I don't know if the cameras got that, but yeah, okay. There we go.
Stop.
Yeah. You love each other. I get it. Tom's on the level. And I loved seeing him at the end, you know, like, give me a gun.
Ooh,
and they all looked.
That's kind of hot.
Yeah, and he threw him the gun. And he's like, "I'm going to work. I'm Tom Keene in this mug."
Yeah,
like, and he did. You know, that was great.
Tom Keene's badass.
He's a badass.
I love Tom Keene.
I love Tom. I love
just
the
get
idea.
Rid of that stupid tattoo.
Well, yeah, the tattoo. That's it. Like, he's got the right haircut now. Mm-hmm. He's got rid of the sweaters. Like,
kind of missed the glasses. The glasses. But that's all right.
Nah, the goofy haircut. Like, he's all straight. I'm
badass.
ready for Tom. All right, so working back. So they moved to that location. Pulls Liz aside and says, you know, you need to go to this flat in Bethesda, you know, which is Red's secret flat. Don't tell him you've been there. By the way, EW said this, and I agree. You can always tell how good the episode is by how many lines Dembe has. They're like, that was a good, that EW
That's
mark.
Perfect.
That's so true. Mm. Like, crank it up. Dembe, right?
Dembe.
Like he's got some shots. And we talked about how they made him a series regular. So they're giving him more to do.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, he's the best.
Great. Yeah, give Dembe more to do than sit around and look and hand red guns and stuff and put hats on his head.
Put him into action.
Yeah. So,
and take a little control. I liked that.
I liked it too. So I also like the idea of him being so close to Red and knowing Red's secrets, but having his best interests at heart. There's only one person that can say, "Don't tell Red, but you gotta do this for Red." Like, there's only one person that can really say that.
Yeah.
It's Dembe.
And just his absolute concern because of their history. He's a kind of father figure to him. You know, he saved him. He's terrified that he's not gonna make it out.
He was sweet. I'd do it myself, but I cannot leave him.
Mm-hmm. Dembe!
Even in the end when Red wakes up and he goes, "You should have told her the truth."
Yeah.
You know, like, he knows everything, but he's the keeper of secrets for Red.
Yeah. So she goes out to the to the crib in Bethesda, goes in there and looks around and sees some photos of her in high school, mm-hmm. like graduation, and she sees a very mysterious photo that's like sun blazed out with a woman and a little girl. Who the heck is that?
I thought that was her.
Who's the woman?
Oh, probably her mom.
Right.
Considering, I mean, this is kind of jumping ahead at the end when the director says, "You look just like her, just like your mother."
Right.
Bah!
But didn't look a lot like, Weeds. What's her name?
Oh, Mary Louise Parker.
Parker.
There we go.
Yeah. So I don't know. She's clearly not the mother.
I don't think so.
All right. Yeah, so she snaps a photo, she walks around, she sees a bunch of stuff, and she finds the case, which we now recognize as the case he got from the Kennedy car in the Kingan family, which is the episode. So that's cool. I love the way they tied that together. And the key, he got the key from another episode. I mean, I can't remember, that he got out of a mason jar in the front. So that key is from... that he got out of mason jar in the front. The Kenyan, the case is what he got from the Kenyan family. And then, of course, the fulcrum piece is from mm-hmm. the bunny. And so we have I think it's kind of cool the way they weaved all that stuff together. And she has all these pieces and not knowing what they would do. And she opens the door to get out of there. And of course, there's my man,
Leonard Call
to solve everything. I like the idea of this sort of like, technology, like this very Alan Turing style technology that's somewhat old school but new school, and there's knobs and there's things, and you have to put the thing and then you take the key off and da da da, and it's a projector, and I thought that was very cool.
I liked
it a lot. I don't know. It seems like all this talk that it felt a little anticlimactic to me, because all of this talk about the fulcrum and all this thing, the fulcrum, it was cool to see it all come together, but once it was up, it was kind of like, well, we knew that anyway, right? I mean, there was no surprise.
Yeah, I guess I could totally see that. I mean, we always, I guess, knew what the fulcrum was. It was the blackmail file, right? You know, with everything, all the information. I guess, if anything, I could totally understand what you mean. Like, because we still don't understand Lizzie's connection to everything. So right. If anything, especially that first shot when the projector is on, but we never see they're looking at. I'm thinking, like, Lizzie's going to discover something, you know, kind of like the other show we have, Bates Motel, mm-hmm. when they did the flash drive and we saw there was important information on one of the characters in that show. I don't want to spoil anything for people who aren't caught up, but something like that.
Right.
Something that would be really, really crucial to Lizzie's history or something about Red. But no, it's just the list of names and, you know, blackmail files, exactly what they were saying on some of these people that we've heard
in
meetings.
But it did go pretty deep, you know? It wasn't just like a list of anonymous names of people doing bad things like this. Right. These were high up officials.
Right. So one of the things I'm somewhat confused about is at the end of that episode. Well, I'll get to that in a second because there's the whole notion. Okay. So they take this and they go back and they find out that the spot is under attack. It's about this attack team coming in, and which I thought was a very cool sequence.
That was an awesome sequence.
We also see my man, the guy who's also in Red's crew with the beard, a Chris Christopherson dude beard.
He's cool.
That guy's cool too, right?
He's cool.
I like that guy. Hopefully give him some more lines. Red's got a cool crew.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
I mean, no Pee Wee Herman. He wasn't there. And,
no!
That's right! He doesn't like blood.
Yeah, that's right. He doesn't like blood. You Pee Wee again. But, that was a cool sort of standoff. Now, they lost some guys, right? They held their own.
A lot of red shirts.
A lot of red shirts, but Dinbe, Tom, and Chris Christopherson and Mrs. Kaplan survive, which is all we care about.
Mm-hmm.
What about that Tinder scene?
I was just going to say that was a cool moment when he calls her, what's her name? Kate. When he calls her Kate, when she refuses to leave, when Mr. Kaplan / Kate refuses to leave Red's side, and he says, you have to, like, it was a tender moment. You have to, and you know what you have to do if I don't survive.
Right.
I wonder what that is.
I know.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
and she kisses him on the forehead.
Yeah,
oh, no,
and gives him a gun.
Oh, Kate!
And runs.
Yeah, and he used it well. Like he.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He did. Was it six shots, six guys, or like I don't know how many shots it was.
He killed three. Okay. I think because he did like two shots per person at least. Okay. About yeah,
that makes sense. So
can you imagine after what he's been through? Chest tubes.
Yeah.
Gunshots.
He's Red Reddington. Mm. Like I like when Red, you know, springs into action like mm-hmm. that. So in that moment, Lizzie finally realizes that it's the director. Now, I mean, that's, you know, I'm just one moment of suspension of disbelief. From the moment that she's rolling by the spot and seeing the team enter to, like, she hightails it to CIA headquarters, which I'm assuming is DC. Maybe it's not that far. Hightails it to CIA headquarters, gets out, parks, gets through security, gets everything, gets right to the director, and somehow shows, clicks, put the keys in,
figured it all out.
The fulcrum shows the thing and the thing, you know, just
lets
in time
see
to
that
say
whole thing.
Call it off. That's I don't know. That seems
and
a little,
give a little speech to convince him to call
speech.
It off.
And not just that.
When she leaves, she said, "You can have it. I have 9 copies."
Yeah, she made copies. She stopped by Kinko's.
I'm like, yeah.
And somehow, the fulcrum machine.
She stopped by Kinko's and said, "Hey, can you do this really quick?" Yeah.
If that's a slow tack team that was invading, or that was a long battle, or Dinbe and Tom Keene and Chris Christopherson did a great job of holding them back. But I don't know. That
stopped by Kinko's. That's
the one thing I'm like, all right, sure.
Cool.
Why not?
Okay.
You know. But I thought that was a very cool moment. And then he's like, you know, then that's when he drops a line on her.
Yeah, you look like your mother.
You look like your mother.
Also, you have no idea the enemies you've just made.
You have no idea the enemies you've just made.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, bring it on. I'm Lizzie Keene. So he gets back, checks on Red. And again, I was after the picture and the saving and the thing. I was really hoping she would just go back and just give Red a big old hug and a kiss and an embrace and say, "You've gone through so much to keep me safe." But she does what?
questions.
She says, "What the F, man?"
Yeah.
Like, no, but she rightfully so is still upset about the Tom thing. I understand that. So Red gives...
Yeah, but he gives her a good explanation.
Of what I feel like is a
I thought
very
it was an amazing explanation. Yeah.
Amazing.
It bothered me so much at the... I wasn't here for your guys' podcast the last episode, but it drove me crazy that last episode.
Sure,
and I was just like, take it! I don't want to know!
Yeah.
Yes, you do. Okay. That's the whole point of this damn show is that you want to know.
Hey, take it easy. This is a Lizzie. This is a Lizzie Keene.
That's right. I like you this episode, Lizzie.
But again, I think if you look at Nick and the fact that she was in a life with somebody else, and we don't know exactly why she didn't take the marriage proposal, but we can only assume it had something to do with her falling in love with Tom.
Yeah.
She felt manipulated by Red putting Tom in there to fall in love with her, and Red's speech was like, Tom was never supposed to fall in love with you. Yeah. He was supposed to be like a friend of a friend. He was supposed to keep his distance from you.
Yeah, and he fell in love, and he's like,
and then I fired him.
Living together.
Yeah,
and then what's he doing? I fired him.
Yeah.
And then also the super origin story, like, this is why I turned myself in. Because I had to keep myself close to you. We got the goods.
That was good.
Yeah.
You know, again, between the Tom speech to Red and the Red speech to Lizzie, we got it all, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like this is
only some of it. He says some of it.
Nah.
Some of it. Why can't you just lie?
Right.
Just make me happy.
Okay, so it's...
Need to know basis.
I will say, you know, Megan Moon, I thought, did a good job in her reactions to that. I mean, she's when she's hearing all this, like, you know, showing her face, she did a pretty good job of reacting. Like, you know, I saw it in her eyes.
Did you?
No, I did. I saw it. She was stopped. I thought that was a very sweet, touching scene. And then, even when she said, I did accept, even when she said, you know, is that it? And he says, no. Well, I mean, you know, most of it or whatever he says. And she says, can't you just
lie to me?
Lie to me.
Make a girl feel all right.
Yeah. And storms off. So, what does this mean at this last thing when she goes to Tom at the end and says, you can help me? And he says, yes, I can. Tell me everything there is to know about Red Reddington. What does this mean? Does this mean she's trying to like discredit him?
I'm imagining she's trying to figure out a little bit more about her past. Now she's seen pictures of her at graduation. She sees this picture with the anonymous woman, which I'm presuming is her mother, perhaps, since we have a reference to her in this episode. I think she wants as much information as possible about her past.
She wants what she's always wanted all along, which is the truth. And I think this moment, she finally says, I give up trying to get the truth. I'm tired of playing games with Red. And Tom said earlier in the episode, I know more about Red than you think. I know more about Red than you realize.
Right.
So she's just trying to find out the truth. So now she has a new ally, or an old ally, to find out the truth.
Right. And is it with a view to... sort of like, because she doesn't trust Red and is still mad at him and wants to whatever, or is she just really wanting to trust him? This is just a question, your gut. What do you think there?
I think she's fed up with him, with Red, and she just wants to get answers from
The question has always been, why me?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, what is my connection to this man, and why is he going so far out of his way to protect me? Why me?
Right.
Who am I?
Okay, well...
I have some ideas.
I think you have some ideas on that.
Maybe.
And then, of course, we have our final scene where we see our guy, the director, you know, talking to someone, you know, and having a long talk about a seat at the table and all this other good stuff and betraying a friend. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's Tom.
Connolly.
Tom Connolly, of course. And,
He wants in.
He
to
wants
the clandestine services.
To clandestine services international.
To the cabal.
To the cabal. I've got a prediction there too, by the way.
Ooh.
Me too.
Yeah.
Actually.
Alright, so.
I don't. so knock yourselves out.
What else? I mean, what else we miss? What else jumped out at you in this episode? Any particular scenes or things that we didn't touch on?
I was gonna look her up. What's the name of the person that's with Connolly in the beginning that's always with him?
Oh.
The African-American woman.
Her title is like the assistant.
She's just his
attorney
assistant?
General. No, not his assistant. She's either the assistant attorney general or the deputy attorney general.
Okay.
Or the assistant. She's number two in attorney general land.
Okay.
He's the attorney general. She's the deputy attorney general.
Because there was that, in that beginning, there was that line where, you know, I don't like being caught with my pants down. My ex-wives can attest to that. And she just starts laughing. And he just had all these, Connolly just had all these looks with her. And I was just wondering what the hell's going on with those two as well.
Who
I was
knows?
Just curious. That's the only thing. It's really minor, but.
But it could be something. But I think that, like, they're, you know, that's the.
And is she on his team if he switches to the cabal?
That's a good question. Where do her loyalties lie?
Yeah.
She's a very, like, thinly drawn character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, she definitely fits the angry, black man in authority trope, but she's a woman. But she, all she's done really is sort of like yell at Cooper, you know, so I don't know what her deal is at all.
But I think she's on the up and up.
Yeah.
You know, I think that she's doing her job.
Right.
And I don't think that she's been swayed one way or the other.
I we'll see. I agree. What anything else?
I think
else?
She's the one that they need to circumvent, you know?
Right. In the previews, they teased all loyalties will don't trust anyone.
Oh, I didn't see previews.
Yeah. I didn't either, so.
Everyone will flip five times. Watch who you, like, yeah. So they have a lot of, like, they should have do a shot of, like, sort of everyone, like, Aram and, you know, and Navabi and, you know, and Dembe and, you know, and a
so
lot of.
Someone is not what they seem to be.
Yeah, a lot of that, like, you know, don't trust anyone. Do you think, out of everyone we know, who's the most likely to be untrustworthy, do you think? This is
Samar.
Samar.
Yeah.
I
that's what I was thinking.
Agree. They tease that in the preview, but you know it's hard to say if it's
a
red herring.
I like her so much. Well,
she's like one of my faves.
Well, don't forget it's not just Red's side against the Cabal. It's Red's side, the task force, what they're doing for the government. And the Cabal.
Yeah.
So,
well, she's the one whose loyalties seem to be the most,
to,
you know.
Yeah. But her loyalties are to Red specifically.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw Aram freak out when he got busted for helping Red.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, Samar seems to be the one that people maybe shouldn't trust because we still don't know exactly.
Well, I will say in the previews, they do show a scene where Samar draws a gun and appears to shoot Dembe. Yeah. So, we don't know what that means. We know that they teased it as if Dembe was the one who was not to be trusted.
No,
you know, but we know that can't be
not Dembe.
Not Dembe.
Come on now.
It's like someone can't be trusted, and Dembe pulls a gun and gets shot by Samar.
No.
Yeah, I'm spoiling. It's in the preview.
You are spoiling.
It's in the preview.
I didn't see the preview.
Check it out.
Fiction boy, don't hate us.
All right.
He always gets pissed off when we talk
Fiction
about
Fiction boy,
stuff.
I know.
Yeah,
like,
you should have a little bigger warning, but that's okay.
All right, I'm sorry.
Too late now.
Spoiler alert for the
Thanks.
Previews.
Uh-huh.
Anything else? Anything else from you, Julia? Any other thoughts?
I am quite satisfied with this episode. That's my thought. I totally dug it. I feel very happy with where they're going now.
Okay. Cool.
I'm on board.
I want to get into Nando. Do you have any shout outs handily available?
Handily available, I believe I do. Just give me 30 seconds.
Okay.
On a very minor, not necessarily Blacklist related thing, I do have, like, I guess, kind of news. I don't know.
Uh-oh.
You know, just in the sense that I saw Avengers last night.
Oh.
Yes. Okay.
So, because that's James Spader-y.
La-da.
And it was awesome. It was really, really cool.
And how was Spader?
Spader's phenomenal. You know, my biggest concern when I saw the trailer and I heard his voice for the first time, I was like, oh, it's the Avengers versus Red Reddington, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess because I cover the show and just follow James Spader so much. But no, it's great. His character, Ultron, is amazing. No spoilers there.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, it's a really, really good movie.
I'm excited for
Definitely
it.
Definitely a big movie to catch this summer.
Well, I'll have to wait till Thursday like the rest of
Did you guys? See that funny little video with Megan Boone and Tom Ryan Eggold? Did you see that? It was a funny little thing. They're yelling at each other. Go, Liz, Tom, and they're just super funny and like addressing all these ridiculous things that have never really been addressed. Like, where's the dog? I don't know.
Oh.
Didn't she used to wear a wig? I don't know. And
oh,
she like puts on a stupid wig. They talk about his haircut.
Oh,
it's
wow.
really funny. They just cut back and forth.
Oh, that's great. I want to see that. Where did you see that?
I think on
the interwebs.
Yes.
.com.
The interwebs.
Wait, wait to let us know about that.
www.interwebs.com.
People just look on the interwebs to find it.
Tom and Lizzie.
I saw it on Facebook because I follow the Blacklist.
Okay,
there
ABC.
We go.
We'll find
so, okay, shout outs. Shout outs from last episode a couple of weeks ago. A lot of familiar faces. Dave 1555. VFC Church Musician. Performing Sis. Ichabon 72, probably saying that one wrong. Holistic Health and Living, Marlene K, Ricky Ra, Amanda Henderson, Violet Eyed 7, Brad Barty, I Dream. Thank you very much, guys, for your comments.
I dream of.
You dream what?
I dream of Brazzy. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I dream of Genie.
I thought you were going to say I dream of predictions.
No. Also, we did the rest of these guys. KDK, yeah, of course, on Twitter. And
oh, yeah. And thank you guys so much, by the way. That's, and you can, catch us on YouTube, and we'll shout your name out. And we do read every, we don't read them during the show, but we do read them. We do follow what you guys are saying. And you can obviously tweet at us, and you can also include the hashtag ABTV Blacklist.
Right.
To all of us. Yes.
Yes. Let's jump into some predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Julie, I'm going to do something I've never done before, and I'm actually going to ask you to go last.
What?
Because I think you have a super doozy of a prediction. I want to give you room to sort of like lay it out for the world. So I'm going to go first.
He's just doing this because he knows what you're going to say.
Don't know what I'm going to say, do you?
No.
If you steal it, I will stab you. And then Nando becomes my favorite.
Lizzie's mom is really... I'm telling you, I don't know. No idea what you're going to say. No, my prediction is Tom Connolly. I don't think he's going to be a bad guy. I think that he's, you know, going in, he wants to see, but I think ultimately he won't be able to betray his friend Harold. And maybe he, I don't know if it's some sort of double infiltration move. Hmm. I don't know what it is, but I don't know that Tom Connolly is really going on to the dark side. Like, as much as he's just too sleazy all the time. And it's just too obvious. I just feel like maybe he's not as bad as we think he is. So we'll see about that. Nando, what's yours?
I think the exact opposite of you.
Okay.
Here's the interesting thing. I was just thinking about this, and I think it'd be a very interesting predicament. So we heard from the last episode, I think we're one of the last episodes, that Cooper's cancer is in remission.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to be back to normal. So whatever
kick
threat...
Kick the cane.
Whatever threat... Yeah, kick the cane away. So whatever threat of him possibly dying has been eliminated... From what we could tell. But I think Connolly still has to give a really good betrayal to the task force. So I actually think that Cooper's going to die within the next couple of episodes.
Wow.
Because of something Connolly does. Because I think now that we're like, okay, Cooper's not going anywhere. Right. His cancer's in remission. I think now's the perfect time to say, fooled you. So I honestly think Cooper's days are numbered.
Wow. Someone's going to die.
Yeah.
And who's going to head the task force? Wrestler?
I don't know about that, but yeah. Probably somebody new. They'll bring someone from the outside.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, poor Cooper.
Interesting. Oh, Cooper.
All right.
That's my thing.
It's finally getting interesting.
And my final prediction is the mother of Lizzie King is not. No. Julia, what's your prediction?
Okay. So you got to bear with me a little bit, and this might be a little crazy.
Okay.
No.
And kind of conspiracy theory-ish, and I can't take all the credit. I had a long conversation with with one of our best followers, Shelly Ramos. Shout out to you.
Okay. Hi, Shelly.
Hi, Shelly.
Hey, Shelly.
So, we all know that Lizzie's real name is Masha, right? We learned this in the flashback.
Okay.
Right. That's her name.
Yeah, Brady.
Masha.
Masha Brady. Yes, go ahead.
When we went into that flat, we saw the old photo of the ornate military guy, the black and white photo.
Uh-huh.
I thought maybe it looks a little Russian. Oh. She is Russian. What if we traced her heritage back to the imperial family of Russia, Tsar Nicholas II, the whole family was killed by the Bolsheviks, and Anastasia escaped?
Yes.
What if she's a direct descendant of the Bolshevik family, who was rumored to have millions and millions in offshore accounts?
Wow. The Bolshevik family.
The Bolshevik family.
Wow.
Anastasia escaped, and... A woman, that was a huge, huge thing. A woman emerged in Berlin in like 1920, mm-hmm. who claimed to be Anastasia all up until her death in the 90s, but she moved to Virginia.
Oh, that's interesting.
It was like the longest legal case in all of history.
Das Vedanya.
Okay, that's, wow.
That's out there.
Yeah,
that's
out there.
But
like that, you're really,
if she's the direct heir.
You're so mic droppy on it. You're really proud of it.
If she's the direct heir to the Romanov fortune.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
I think that that's.
And what's her connection to Red? But what's her connection to Red?
Well, I don't know that, but I'm saying that this is her family. This is her heritage. This is who she is.
All right, interesting.
All right.
Okay.
You hate it.
I
love it. I'm so on board. I'm so on board with this.
Awesome.
I love the Anastasia the film.
I love the animated
story,
film.
Not the film, guys. I'm talking about the real story. This really happened.
I know it really happened. No, I like it. I think that's a very wonderful.
You think I'm crazy?
I don't.
You think Shelly and I are crazy?
You and Shelly, I don't know. Was there wine involved?
No. If
you are right, you can scream to the heavens, and there's nothing we can do about it. Right. But I love the fact that you're off on this one.
I know it's super conspiracy theory-ish,
awesome.
But still, we have that old ornate military picture,
right?
With like the sashes and the medals, very Russian,
right? Sure.
Tell us what you guys.
Her
think.
Name is Masha.
Think Julia actually is crazy, or could she be right?
Like maybe Anastasia's her great grandma,
or crazy like a fox? Is Julia crazy like a fox, or is she just crazy?
You're jealous. You guys are just jealous.
Nah.
I was going to say the exact same thing. I actually was. No.
That's all we got.
I'm telling you. They had jewels sewn into their corsets. I've been researching this for days now.
This is not.
That's what saved them. When they were shot by firing squad. And she escaped.
I know.
Hey.
Okay, Julie.
Take a history class.
Okay, I'm on board.
Learn something.
With my world history on that. The jewels sewn into the corset.
That's true.
All right.
Diamonds.
Thank you for joining us on the Blacklist AfterBuzz After Show / Conspiracy Hour.
A whole fortune in foreign accounts.
Joe Sanfilippo, you can find him on Twitter at Joe Sanfilippo, at Joe Flippo. And on his website at Joseph Sanfilippo. Nando Velasquez, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Nandovel, NANDOVEL.
And Julia Carely.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram with my name, Julia Carely, JULIACEARLEY.
And in all those deep web sites looking for
deep,
conspiracy theories.
Yeah, the deep ones. Well, the dark web.
The dark web, yeah.
The dark web.
That's it.
Bolsheviks took him out.
The Bolsheviks. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe K. Braswell. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next week for more Blacklist as we race to the finish of season 2 with 3 more episodes to go. We'll see you next week.
Woohoo! Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.